Praise the Lord. Yeah, there's just, it's one verse. That's all it is, Jason. It's Proverbs. Okay? And everybody can turn there. It's short, but sweet. You can see it for yourself. It's Proverbs 13, and it's verse 21. Okay? Proverbs 13, verse 21. Just the one verse. Did you notice that about Proverbs? You don't really usually look at a whole half a page of Proverbs, you know, like for a scripture reading like this, you know, because every verse is its own message for most of Proverbs anyway. Not all of it, but for some of it. And that's the way it is here. So just verse 21, Jason.
Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid.
Amen. Amen. Good shall be repaid. Praise the Lord. That's the only time in the scriptures where the word repaid is used. Amazing. All right. Praise the Lord. Would you join me in prayer, please? Oh, dear Lord, we want to thank you, dear God, for your precious presence with us here today. I want to thank you, dear God, that you have promised, Lord, to touch our hearts, Lord, with an indwelling touch that truly takes us all the way. No longer, dear God, is it just a matter of looking for you out in the distance or trying to figure out where we can find you. No, Lord, you have promised that you will be within your people. Hallelujah. God with us. Praise the name of Jesus. So we exalt your holy name here today. We desire, dear God, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, to truly be upon our inner thinking, not just our minds as we know them, but, Lord, in the minds of our hearts, in the thinking of our spirits, I pray, dear God, Lord, that we will look to you and we will find everything, dear God, that you're trying to give us here today by looking at this idea of repaying. There's many facets to it. So I just want to take the opportunity, Lord, to thank you for everything you're going to show us. So thank you even ahead of time for all that you're going to reveal to us in this time. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A time to repay. A time to repay. That title has changed probably five or six times in the last week. Had all kinds of different things, but that's what I ended up with finally. A time to repay. In fact, I even have it a little different at the top of my notes. Time to be repaid. So this has gone through a morphing over the week, and I think any of them would do for what we're taking a look at here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Humility. Humility. I want to start with that concept because it does take humility to go fully into the realm of repaying, you know, to recognize that somebody has done something for you and to repay that. Now, be real clear about this. I'm not talking legalistically. I'm not talking about, you know, doing something so that you can get repaid or somebody else doing something for you or to you so that they can get repaid. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about a good, honest sense of giving back. Amen? That's probably even clearer than the word repay, but the word repay is found several times in the scripture, and I want to draw that out. Okay? Humility. It does take some humility, you know, especially if you had borrowed something from somebody and all of a sudden you realize, you know, you borrowed somebody's weed whacker or something like that, and you all of a sudden you notice you still have it in your garage and it's been weeks. Well, all you got to do is go out. If you forgot who you borrowed it from, just go out and see who's got the messy yard, you know, and that's probably the one where that might go. But it can be embarrassing if you haven't, you know, repaid, if you haven't paid back. Okay. And once again, not talking legalistically at all, just talking about from the heart. You're so appreciative of what God or somebody else perhaps has done for you that you want to pay it back. Okay? Now, there's also a sense in which we need to be willing to receive that which people do for us. But we don't have to repay in kind. You know, what I mean by that is if somebody gave us a gift or gave us money or whatever, we don't have to repay necessarily in that. If they're intending to have given that as just a thank you for something or whatever, then you can repay just by being kind. By continuing to be kind and helpful and doing things that help that person or perhaps help another person, okay? So I'm not talking about we have to keep a tally and, you know, somebody gave me a present of this and now I have to do it. You see, people have done that through the years, you know, and Jesus even warned people about that. You know, don't just invite somebody to dinner who can later pay you back. Remember that? So just leave the legalism out of it. We're talking about you sincerely desire to show your appreciation. Amen? All right. Well, anyway, the donkey. The donkey is kind of a picture of humility, a symbol for humility. One small boy, story is told, was leading his donkey past a group of soldiers, American soldiers, as it turns out, in Italy during World War II. They jeered the boy. They said they made fun of him. They asked him, "Why are you holding on to your brother?" Now remember, he's leading along a donkey with a rope. It's not, you know, it's not literally his brother. They were making fun of him. They were jeering at him. They were, well, bullying, I guess you could say, but maybe they were doing it much more lightheartedly. I don't know. Well, so the boy responded. The boy said, "So he won't join the army." One of those delayed action ones, huh? "So he won't join the army. Keep him away from these guys." All right. This, you're going to like this one better. You ready? A minister was surprised one morning when he saw a dead donkey on his lawn. That's right. He found a dead donkey on his lawn. He called the city manager to request the dead beast's removal, you know, like roadkill, but it was on the lawn. And then the city manager said, I thought a man in your profession was supposed to take care of the dead. He's trying to evade the responsibility of the matter, so he kind of gets after the pastor about it. "You're a pastor. You do funerals all the time. Why don't you take care of the dead?" And the minister kind of snapped right back at him, "That is my job." And the first thing a minister does is to notify the next of kin. I told you you'd like that better. I told you. Humility. Evidently, there was some friction between these two guys, you know, the city manager and the pastor. It's probably surfaced other times, certainly surfaced here, all right? They both thought it was time to kind of repay the others. Now, I mean that very negatively, to repay others, to get back at them, you know, to zing them, right? I mean, they both thought they could do that to each other. All right. But when God uses the word, he has just the opposite attitude. Praise God. He has just the opposite attitude. I want to go back to the Old Testament to see what God means when he's talking about repayment. Okay? So first of all, if you're still there at Proverbs 13, then that'll be fine. That's what we're going to look at first. Proverbs 13, verse 21. All right. This is the only time in the Bible that the word repaid is used. It's kind of the past tense. Somebody repaid me means it already happened. Right. So verse 21 says, "Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." Right. You know, we're told elsewhere not to repay good for evil. All right? So he makes it clear, to the righteous, good shall be repaid. And that's all it says about that. Then it goes on to another subject, and really every verse goes on to another subject in the book of Proverbs for a good part of it. This is the only time you're going to see this word repaid in the past tense. It's actually the Hebrew word shalom. Now that sounds very familiar to you because you're familiar with the word shalom, right? Shalom, it's the word for peace. It's a word that's used for either hello or goodbye. Okay? You know, it's kind of like, what's the Hawaiian one? What do they say in Hawaii? Aloha. It's used for both hello and goodbye. This is shalom. It means to be safe in mind, body, or estate. It means to be completed. It means to be friendly, to reciprocate, to make amends, to end, to finish, to be full, to give again, to make good, to be repaid, to be at peace. Now listen to this whole list of translations. To be at peace, now listen, recompense, render, requite, make restitution, restore, reward. All of them start with R-E. Some of them we've talked about before, but others we may still get a chance to see what they are. Coming up, we'll just see how that goes, okay? But all of this is for sure. Recompense, render, requite, to make restitution, restore, reward. All of it is a sure thing. Nowhere is it God getting back at you. Not in this scripture. There are scriptures that handle the judgment side of the idea of repaying or getting back at somebody, okay? But this is not one of them, all right? The righteous are repaid good by God. There are verses that do talk about the judgment part of this issue. Turn over to Deuteronomy, turn back, that is, to Deuteronomy chapter 7, okay? Chapter 7, and I think just the one verse will probably suffice. Well, we might want to go back just a little ways. Yeah, 7, that's good. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people. For ye were the fewest of all people. In other words, you're not getting from God what you deserve because you're so hotshot or you're so good or whatever. But because the Lord loved you, because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, he's keeping his promises, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, praise God, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Verse 10, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. And now we're seeing the judgment side of the same issue. Okay? It turns out it's the same Hebrew word, shalom, same word. But it's got a flip side. And really, a lot of words do, and a lot of concepts do in the Bible. It's this or this. If you are behaving responsibly, if you are doing what I call you to do, if you are being obedient, then this, you see. But if not, then this. See, most concepts and most words in the scriptures are like that. They've got two sides to it. Somebody was just mentioning the other day to me, I can't remember now who it was, but it was about names. We were talking about names. And the person was remembering that we had talked about this before, that you know, a name can call you away from bad stuff and towards good stuff. Okay? I mean, like Jacob, for example, his name means schemer. Well, that doesn't sound like, you know, you can just see that, you know, the baby's just born. Everybody goes into the room and they look, open up the bassinet and they look at the baby and say, let's call him schemer, you know. But that name could be calling Jacob away from being the schemer and come into a place where he's all about God. Amen. All right. Okay. So it's the other side of the coin, basically. So that's a couple things we see in the Old Testament. I want to take a little bit of time and see what's in the New Testament. Okay? I'm going to see how God has done something with this word and makes it full and real and complete. Okay? Are you ready? You know, we've done this before. We looked at the other R-E words, and you can see God literally changing the word to something else and go deeper with it as he changes the word just even a little bit. All right, same kind of idea. There are actually three Greek words and only three Greek words that are used each once in the New Testament. Okay? It's not like in the Old Testament where there were two places where we saw shalom. And there are others, okay, of that. But in the New Testament, there are three. Three Greek words and only three. All right? So let's go ahead and take a look at this. Let's go ahead and run through it. The first time is in the story of the Good Samaritan. All right? I want you to, we don't have to go into tons of detail on that because it's a very familiar story, I'm sure. But if you would turn to Luke chapter 10, the story there about the Good Samaritan, you know the story. Guy was mugged, robbed, and left for dead. Then three other people come along, and then you go in. We don't need to do it right now, but you can go into detail and see what they did to help. The first two, of course, doing nothing. The third one, who was a Samaritan, you'll remember, not expected to care about the Jews or to be nice or anything. You know, they were considered garbage, really. So a Samaritan stops and binds up the wounds as best he could, you know, gets out his first aid kit, the Band-Aids and the first aid cream, and starts to fix him up a little bit, but he's hurt worse than that. So he takes him to the inn, okay? Takes him right to the inn, binds up his wounds, it says in verse 34, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now watch this, verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, pulled out some money out of his wallet, and gave them to the host, to the innkeeper. Does everybody see where I'm at? Luke 10, verse 35. And said unto him, take care of him. Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more. See, he's giving him money for it. He's not just expecting somebody to do something for nothing. He gives him the money for it. But then he says, listen, if it takes more than this, when I come again, I will repay thee. I will repay thee. The Greek word here is apodidomi. Apodidomi. The word apo is the prefix to the word. It means off or away. In other words, You well, like in this guy's case, when he comes back, he's going to get out his wallet, and the innkeeper says, yeah, it cost a couple bucks more. So he goes ahead and gets out his wallet and does what? Grabs out the money and goes ahead and sends it away from himself. Okay? Off of himself. Off of him. He's going to give it away. He promised he would. He said, if it's any more than this, now you got to have some trust in you, but, you know, because that guy could say, well, actually, I spent about $10,000 here, you know, and, you know, but, and we're never told about the guy coming back, but the guy said he would, okay? So I got to believe that he does. I mean, it's a story. Amen? Okay. So anyway, apodidomi, to send it away from yourself, to give it to the other person. Okay? It means to give away. See, the didomi means to give. Okay? So to give away, or up, or over, or back, to bestow something upon somebody, to deliver again, to repay, or literally, payment be made. Okay? Yeah. He expects care for the man that is injured. This guy that brought the Samaritan to the inn, he expects care. He's already done what he could do. He gives the guy some money, probably all either he had or he could afford at the time, because he's on a journey. He's on a trip. He's got to have toll money, you know. Anyway, so he expects the guy to be cared for, but he will pay for it. He's not expecting the innkeeper to absorb the loss. He's ready to pay for the whole thing, okay? He's not going to expect somebody else to do it. Praise the name of Jesus, all right? Repay, to give back, you know? He let this guy be in the care of the innkeeper. The innkeeper used more money than he had given him originally. He was going to give it back to him. Amen? Wasn't going to expect somebody else to absorb anything here. He wanted to take care of it. He was going to repay it. There's another one. I said there were three Greek words, right? There's another one. Turn over to Romans, please. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 19 is probably enough. Well, we could back up just a little bit. Yeah, why not? How about go back to 17? Well, no, let's go back to 16. Okay? Oh, no, 16 is fine. Ready? Be of the same mind. This is Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low degree. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, don't pay him back in kind. And by in kind, I mean in the same way. So if somebody treats you negatively, you don't turn right around and treat them bad too. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't always be trying to get back at somebody, is basically what this is saying. But rather give place unto wrath. There is a place for anger, you know. It says in Ephesians, you know, that we are to be angry. We're to be angry at sin. Amen? But don't sin in the process. All right? There's a real clear distinction made there. So give place unto the wrath. There is a place to be angry at the things of Satan and at Satan himself. For it is written, and this is from God himself, people, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, I've told this story more than once, so I'll make it brief. I've always had a very clear picture of this from Cindy's own family. Her dad was like this. He would, if something happened and somebody shafted him, and believe me, he got the shaft a lot. He ran a little hardware store up in northern Michigan, and people would have him install furnaces and do all kinds of hardware type things and then not pay their bills. And that happened quite a bit. And to the point where he finally had to give up the hardware store and move to the Detroit area and get a job in a plant and so forth. Well, quite frankly, you know, how likely was it that I was going to meet Cindy unless they were nearby? So I see, a good thing in all of that. On the other hand, God could always somehow get me up there. Okay? So, but that's the attitude that he had. And he people would ask him about it. Or he would say right up front, he would say, you know, God will straighten it all out. I'm not going to, you know, spend my time, you know, seeking vengeance and getting back at people. And, you know, I mean, well, he tried to make it, of course. I mean, there are stories of him grabbing Nani and the girls and putting them in the car and taking them out in the evening and go out to people's places that owed him money and go visit them. He left his wife and kids in the car, but then that would made it easy for him to get out of the house again and not spend hours talking. I think Cindy remembers hours talking. if you knew Cindy's dad at all, you can see that there might be hours talking. All right. But anyway, you know, so he would go and try to get repayment for the stuff he did for them or the stuff he gave them. And I don't know how successful it was. It wasn't ultimately successful because he did have to, you know, he did move and start up somewhere else. Yeah, too nice, as some people would say. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen? I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, we are to be angry at sin. We understand that. But we're not to sin in the process of being angry at sin. And God shows us the way. He even empowers the way in this word repay. The Greek word here is anoixis. Anoixis. It means to be open like an open throat. To be open like an open throat. Vengeance is not to be ours. It is God's. Amen? We don't have to fix it. We don't have to straighten everybody out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, payback. I'm going to get back at them. They're going to be sorry for the day they were born. You know, you hear this stuff from people, you know. That's the way I'm going to handle my problems and so forth. Praise God. God says he's the one who's going to repay. Clearly, right from the throat of God, with his mouth open, he says, vengeance is mine. It is mine. If I want to get back at this person at a particular time, I'll get back at this person in a particular time. Amen? I will repay. See, that's a lot different than Proverbs, you know, where it was, you know, the good will be repaid to the righteous. It's the other side of the coin. You see what I'm saying? These things, these concepts, they talk about many things when they talk about anything. Amen? There's one more, though. There's one more. Happens to be in a rather obscure place. It's in the book of Philemon. And you know what I mean by obscure. There's only one chapter. It's right after all the T's, if you have a little bit of a problem finding it. You know, the Timothy's and the Titus's and the, you know, all, there's a whole row of T words, okay? The very next one is Philemon. All right, I'll give you a second to get there. Philemon. Now, it's chapter one because there's only one chapter. All right, but you know the basic story. Onesimus was a slave and a runaway slave, I guess you could accurately put it. And anyway, Paul runs into him later on. Turns out he ends up being very, very helpful to Paul while Paul's in prison. Brings him things, makes sure he has enough stuff and all that. Well, evidently the guy eventually gets saved. I don't know how long it took, but Paul makes clear he's a brother in Christ. Okay? So now he's contacting, by letter, he's contacting Philemon, who is the owner of this slave, and could be very miffed. In fact, the slave owner had the right to kill the runaway slave. If he ever found the runaway slave, he could kill him. There was no jail time for that. There was no charge against you. It was, you know, you're done. But Paul wants to send him back. But he wants to send him back where he's wanted, not hated. So he's talking to Philemon. You know the basic story, right? Okay, so anyway, the Greek word that is here is apotino. Okay? This, it's in, did I give you the verse yet? No, 17 and 19. 17 to 19. If thou count me therefore, I love the way Paul puts this. I think this is so cool. This is so honest. If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Take him back. All right? He's a runaway, but so don't kill him. But I want you to receive him like you would receive me. All right? Receive him as myself. Now, he's going to get even stronger with it. Watch this. I've always loved this verse. Watch this. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught. Okay? It's kind of like the guy taking the Samaritan to the innkeeper, you know? If I owe you anything on my way back, I'll pay it back. Put that on in my account, in other words. Put it on my tab, Paul is saying, okay? Put it on my tab and I'll pay it. Now watch this. Verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. You cannot even think for a minute that I'm dictating this and somebody has slipped this in and I didn't know about it. I am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I will repay it. Now, he could have just dropped it right there, couldn't he? But he doesn't. He says, albeit, I do not say, in other words, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I do not say to you how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. In other words, listen, you got saved under my ministry. You know, you owe me. Right? I mean, you got a lot of stuff from God. All right? And so I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, and I'm not going to, it's almost like he's saying, I'm not even going to bring this up. But he brings it up anyway, and he makes it clear. You know, you know, I gave you everything and you owe me even yourself. You owe me yourself, he says to this man. Okay, he says, now I will repay it. But keep in mind, you owe it. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? It's like that, you know. Well, after everything I did for him, he should do something for, you know, it's that kind of thing. Only it's just as honest as could be. Just as honest as could be. Praise God. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. You can't get out of it. I'm telling you, I will repay it. But remember this, I shouldn't have to. Basically, I shouldn't have to. Because after all I did for you, that's what he's saying. I always did kind of like that verse. You know, there's one way in which you could take that as kind of a little bit humorous, but it's certainly honest, if it's nothing else. Okay? Apotino, that's the word. Apo, of course, meaning off or away, like we talked about before. And tino means to pay a price. And as a penalty, all right, to pay the price of a penalty. Now we're getting real specific here. We're going beyond a little bit of money here. We're going beyond what it might take to care for this beat up guy along the road. We're getting beyond, I borrowed the weed whacker a couple years ago. You want it back? You know, we're getting beyond that stuff. Okay, this is much fuller. It literally means to repay, but in full. Amen? To repay, but in full. And isn't that what happened at the cross? Amen? Isn't that really what happened at the cross? Praise God. Jesus paid the price in full for our sin. And I mean completely. I mean totally. I mean altogether. Set free. Not only from the punishment of what sin would bring, but set free from the power of sin and the one who brings that sin, namely Satan. Amen. Praise God. See how much bigger it got? You get into the New Testament and you get right into the heart of it. And you saw it in the Old Testament. You saw it and you saw it develop. And you get into the New Testament and we're talking about the cross now. We're talking about Jesus who paid it all. Praise God. Amen. And like we've said before, I said it earlier, I said it a couple months ago, it's about time he gets what he paid for. And I don't mean that legalistically at all. I mean just to understand that once we're truly saved, we want God to have all of us. Amen? So it's not like a little legalistic, you know, ledger. Keep track of what we owe God. You know how some people do. You know, they talk about, you know, Peter says, well, you know, how many times should I forgive somebody? And Jesus said, you know, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Well, you know that's 490, don't you? Well, there are probably people running around that keep a log of that, you know? And 396, 401. And finally, when you get to the last one, then you're done. And that's not what it means. You might as well say instead of 490, infinitely. That was the point. Because seven is fullness. 70 is full fullness. Amen? So seven times 70 is, you might as well say, infinite. Praise the Lord. It's about time God gets what he paid for. No doubt, it is time to repay. But it comes out of love. It doesn't come out of some ledger. Amen? It comes out of because God loved us first. And we love him back. Amen? And so then we take care of other people. We get them off the street with, you know, in their injured state and give them Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So there you go. There's that simple little word, repay. But look at all that it can mean. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you. You don't stand there, dear God, somehow tapping your wrist to point to your watch to say, it's time, people. It's time. Isn't it about time you give me what I paid for? It's not legalistic like that, but it is time to let you have our entire lives, our entire selves. Praise the Lord. Everything. To do things your way, dear God. Not always trying to, teach somebody a lesson or get back at them or anything like that, dear God. No, we love you, Lord, because you loved us first. And we just want you to get the glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. It certainly is time to repay. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.